me. I got all this stuff I'm worried about, and it shows up on my face. Have you seen people who have looked like they're older, but their face seems not their age? I've seen that many times where I look at someone going, I bet that person's in this age group over here. And then they tell me their age, and I'm going, oh my goodness, they got so much worry inside of them. As MacArthur says here, let me just repeat, years may wrinkle the skin, but enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. Or lack of enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. We get ill. You know why we get ill? We get ill because of what happens, and eventually this body will die, not because of the hardening of the arteries, but the hardening of the attitudes in our bodies. And it dries up the bones. We all have, and we continue to have, what's called the EII. And let me tell you how this affects kids as well. And I want to tell you about a young ruler in Sicily back in the 13th century. I don't like what he did, and I'm not for this, but I did read this about babies. He took babies. He took a group of babies who were in a foster home, and he put them, and he says, you know what? I want to do a test, this man says. And he says, I want to, because he's a ruler, he says, I want to take these certain baby, newborn babies, and he took them from the foster homes, and he says, I want to do a test with these a few young ones here. I want them not to hear one sound. I don't want them to hear any language. I don't want anybody to speak to them, and let's see what happens after 1 year. If no one's speaking to these babies, we'll feed them, we'll take care of them, but I want anybody to talk to them after 1 year. Let me see what happens. You know what happens with these babies within 1 year? They didn't leave 1 year. You know why? Because all of them passed away. Because of the lack of words of encouragement with the babies. They all died. Another study was done after World War II in Germany. Again, nothing about the German. I'm just talking about what has happened in the orphanage after World War II. They gave 50 kids in one room and 50 kids in another room. In the orphanage, they gave these children love, happiness, joy, games. And in the other 50 on this side, they gave them just sternness and discipline, no happiness, no laughter. They all had the same room conditions. They all had the same housing. They gave them the same clothes. They had the same exercise, and they had the same food. But after a year, the children with the joy and the happiness were 2 inches taller on average than the other children, and the other children had several more pounds heavier, and these kids over here who didn't have much joy had more sickness than these kids over here who had more joy. It's amazing how the body works and how we treat our bodies and listen to our bodies. Secondly, what I want to do is, well, look at verse 17 and 22 in Proverbs, just on the next page there in your Bible, 17 and 22. Look what it says here. It says here in 17:22, a joyful heart is what? Good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. I want to mention the word medicine just for a moment, and we're going to talk about that here shortly. But look at the word medicine, because the reason I want to look at that word medicine in this scripture and in this verse, because I want you to kind of maybe underline it or circle it, and it's very important that you do this, because let me tell you why. A joyful heart is good medicine. This is the only time that the word medicine in the Old Testament appears. Only one time in the Old Testament is here. No other verse in the entire Old Testament, which has more books in the Old Testament than the New Testament, has more words in the Old Testament than the New Testament, and yet the only time you see the word medicine is here. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. I would circle that one because it's very important. Look what it says up here at what Jesus says, I think, on the screen. Let's see if it pulls up. For the mouth speaks out that what fills the heart. Let me say that again, because you know who's speaking about this. This is Jesus. For the mouth speaks out which fills the heart. You ever been around somebody who's negative, who's just having a bad day? And I get to talk to people, many people, every day. Every day I get to talk to businesses and churches and schools, and I get to talk to them, and I hear sometimes the comments or overhear the comments, and my goodness, I'm going, man, that heart is just not right today. Because for the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart. The question is what's in our hearts? Because I believe here in Proverbs, you don't have to go there. Look what it says also. For as he thinks with himself, so he is. Whatever he thinks is who he is. Whatever comes out is what's in his heart. And the only medicine in the Old Testament is a joyful heart. You see how we tie all this together? It depends on what, and we talk about joy. It depends on not just the hearts, but let me tell you something what it says here. It says the devil generally starts from the outside and he works in. God starts from the inside and he works out. Let me say that again. The devil, the enemy, generally starts from the outside with its influence around you and gets in. What God starts inside of you comes out. It's amazing how we find joy throughout the scriptures. If you look on the screen here, another Proverbs, it says here in 16:20, the one who understands a matter finds success, and the one who trusts in the Lord will be happy. You see how all this is coming together. And a lot of times during the holidays, we think about that word, one word, and it means joy. Even John 15:11 says this in scriptures. It says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Who do you think is speaking up here? That's Jesus. He was joyful. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. You can only find joy in the things that have to do with the Lord. One more up here too. It talks about the Lord in Hebrews. And this is about talking about Jesus as well. It says, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. This is why God, your God, Jesus, has anointed you with the oil of joy beyond your companions. He's talking about Jesus here. So the joy that we sometimes lose is because there's something we're doing inside of us. Let me go on to this one as well here. You know about joyful, you know about being happy, but also too, let me tell you what it says here in Nehemiah. He says, go and eat which is rich, drink what is sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared. Since today is holy to your Lord, do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is what? Is your strength. It is your strength. It is your medicine. It is everything that you need, because sometimes we read too much and we put it on top of us and we carry the burdens of everything in life. Look what it says in 15:15 in Proverbs. Are you there? Go back to 15:15. Now we're going to finish this off here. Look what it says in 15:15. All the days are afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continually feast. Let me do that again. Proverbs 15:15. All the days are afflicted are bad, But a cheerful heart has a continually feast. You know what he's saying? You know what Solomon's saying is this. All the days are afflicted as bad. In other words, there are many bad days. You're going to go through life with challenges. You're going to go through life with discouragement. You're going to go through life with things coming against you. You're going to go through life with all these things that hurt you. But here's the deal, is that it depends on how you approach the days, because if you enjoy life in spite of the circumstances, you're going to have a joyful heart. Many times we go through life and we go, Tom, you don't understand. My car don't work. They're cutting my hours at my job. My finances are in bad shape, and all these things are coming against me. But he's saying this, when those days happen, when those days are afflicted or bad, a cheerful heart has a continuous feast. In spite of your circumstances, you go and you give it to the Lord, and the Lord answers prayers. That's why he says, talk to me. Whatever's happening in life, you talk to me, and things starts to change. When you don't talk to me, things don't change. You have to have a joyful heart. You don't get your joy from things. You don't get your joy from your friends. You don't get your joy from your possessions. You don't get your joy from outward experiences. You do get your joy in your health. You don't get it from your health or your businesses or anything. You know where you get your joy? You see your joy is when the Jesus Christ was on the cross, and he says, you know what? I'm going to leave you with something, and I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit and a joyful heart as well. Because it's so hard to find things in other things we don't understand. And by the way, before we talk about anything else that I wanted to talk about here, is this. We talk about a misery heart. We've talked about the mastery of a happy heart. But let me tell you something that I want to show you up here. A lot of times we do things, we hurt ourselves. We get my cat the other day, he kind of scratched me. And I went to the medicine cabinet to put ointment on, right? So I got a scratch on me, and I went to the medicine cabinet, and I put ointment on me. Or if I have a headache, we go and we also get some medicine, right? And we get some I get BC powder, and I put some BC powder in my tea or my water because I got a little headache, and I take it. But we go to the medicine cabinet, and sometimes our medicine cabinet looks like this, looks like candy. Right? Look at that. I would say that and this is what some cabinets look like. They've got this medicine for this, medicine for that, this here. You put them all together. I said, my goodness, it looks like Mike and I candy. But here's what is interesting, is that you can have a medicine in the cabinet and you must take it. And so it must be from day to day. But are we seeking the medicine that Scripture is saying? What did the medicine say, the one word in the Old Testament? Remember what it said? That one time, the medicine is joyful in His word. We take all of this because we are induced with EII, and all we need is His word. Now, yes, I have high blood pressure, and I take medication every day for it. The doctor says, Tom, I know you're only 25, but you have high blood pressure. And I said, Doctor, how did I get that high blood pressure? And he says, Tom, the reason you have high blood pressure is because it's hereditary. And I said, you mean hereditary, like I got it from my mom and my dad? He says, yes, since it's in your line, you have it from your mom and dad. Mom, thank you. I have high blood pressure, and I got it from you. Click. There are some illnesses that there's nothing you can do about. I get that. But a lot of times we induce our own selves with our own sicknesses, with anxiety, stress, things that we think about, and we cause our own illnesses. We shouldn't be taking all of that, some of that, but a lot of this is what we need to be. We need to seek our joy in him, not in everything else as well. Some man, and I'll finish with this. There was a man who wrote to his congressman, and by the way, I'm glad all this stuff with all the stuff in the media, with all the junk, with all the stuff is over. The man wrote, he says, "Where is all this happiness that the Constitution of the United States guarantees me? I don't understand. I read about this happiness that it says in the Constitution. Congressman, what happened to all of that that it says that it guarantees me in the Constitution? It says it right here. I read it right here." The congressman wrote back and he said, "You better reread what it says in the Constitution, young man. It doesn't guarantee you any happiness. It guarantees you the pursuit of happiness." Many times in life, we want our happiness to come from man and from things and from all the stuff that we see in life. And yet, that happiness only lasts for a second when we buy a new car or when we buy a new gadget or we buy a new phone or we buy whatever it is. That happiness lasts just for a moment, but his joy lasts forever. His joy will last forever. His joy will last forever. You're going to see a lot of things happening today in this game this afternoon. You're going to see a lot of joyful people. And I know at the end of the game, there's going to be one winner. And I told you last week in the message about Satan and his scheme. Remember that message I gave last week and the illustration that the coaches are going to have today? They're going to have their playbook. They didn't tell the players to go out into the field, and they're going to say, "Hey, guys, you go out there and have a great time on the football field. You can have just a great time with everything you want to do. Play your game, and that'll be fine." You think the coaches are going to tell them that this afternoon? Absolutely not. The coaches were going to have this game plan. I told you this last week. They're going to have this game plan. Each coach on each side is going to have a game plan so each one of them to know how to win that game. Let me tell you, and you missed the message last week. Let me say it again, that Satan also has his game plan as well, and he's calling your play, and he's going to defeat you, whatever it takes to bring you down. And the message last week was, do you have your game plan? Did you write down your prayer requests? Because the moment you don't write down your prayer requests, and the moment you don't have a game plan, the enemy is going to defeat you and take away your joy. When you watch the game this afternoon, when the coaches are on the field and they have their game plan to defeat the enemy on the field, you need to make sure when you remember that as you watch, hey, did I write down my prayer request because I want joy in my life? Did I write down my game plan to defeat the enemy this afternoon and for this week? At the end of the game, there's going to be a circle of players at the end of the game that are going to pray after the game. They're not going to show you that on TV, but there's going to be a circle of players after the game that are going to have them in a circle praying to the Lord. And lastly, not much has been presented this in the news, and listen to this one here. Right before the ball player lost his life last week, the basketball player, Kobe Bryant, who lost his life last week in that accident, do you know where he was that morning? Did anybody report it? Only one agency reported it. What happened to him before he went on the plane? You know where he was that morning? With his daughter? They were at church, a Catholic church, to receive the Lord in their traditions in Catholicism. None of that got reported, and most of it won't. But he went to the Lord that morning. He went to church that morning to receive communion, to receive the Lord in their tradition. And about an hour later, him and his daughter pass. Everyone speaks about his legend, but no one speaks about his Lord. Just remember that. It saddens me that I have to tell you that, because that should have been reported as well, as much as he as a player, is that he went to the Lord that morning in church and on that day in their tradition. It was important to him for that day. Don't let anybody take your joy away. Don't let anybody tell you how old you are. And when you go to the Lord and when you go to the doctor, don't come in with EII. You give it to the Lord. He's your medicine for all that emotional junk inside of us that holds us down. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. How many times in life our burdens, our anxiety, all that stuff that's in our minds gets into our